the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein powered chicken bites.
Alan Quinlan, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, lads. How are you?
I'm good. I got a bit lost there for a second. Luckily, we had Jack Carty on earlier on. He did not get lost. He was sensational at the weekend. Connacht were sensational. And it just goes to show that, you know, when you believe in yourself and you've got a game plan and you stick to it, good things happen.
Yeah, I listened to him. He had a great game. He was full of confidence and belief and energy, but that platform was kind of laid up front for him as well. And I thought the Connacht pack were outstanding. We got to put this in context as well, Ger. You know, it's a week in Leinster side, but that week in Leinster side, we've been raving about them for a couple of years now, about how they're able to go and produce performances and win consistently. So you can't take, you can take a little bit away from it, but not a lot, because, you know, Connacht haven't won there in 19 years, and 2 years ago they, you know, they came very, very close, and on a few occasions they played quite well there. And but this will do wonders for everyone in the Connacht squad, and I'm delighted for Andy Friend, because I think he the brand of rugby that his side play, what he's trying to do with them, the belief and the never say die attitude that they continue to have even when they're struggling in games is brilliant to see. And And for Jack Carty as well. I think he's a very, very talented footballer. And, you know, I was listening to his chat with you guys about what was really interesting. It was something that can affect sports people, is when you make a mistake, do you back it up with another mistake? And that is the key. The top confident guys who sometimes naturally do it, they don't have to think about it. And that's what really kind of separates top level consistent performances for talented people, because he's very, very talented, and if he can get consistency in his performances, well, he can elevate himself back to the national team and maybe take that step up and be comfortable there.
So we were actually talking about this before we came on air this morning. Like, Sexton obviously went off with a HIA and didn't come back, and that's his, played 24 minutes, and he played 24 minutes the last time out. There's a gap there now for the next 10, and certainly for the Six Nations, who's going to be the backup, right? And at the moment, it seems as if Billy Burns has a bit of an advantage, given that that's the way they turned after the end of the Six Nations in the November period. But by his own admission, Jack Carty's playing literally the best rugby of his life. So he must be pushing hard. And he must be thinking, or his people must be thinking, that he's 28... 10 caps, there's 20 or 30 caps for whoever gets this gig now over the next year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. Because, you're always going to be competing for that when Sexton retires, and if Joey Carby comes back, which is no guarantee, that you're going to be there or thereabouts. You're going to play a lot of rugby for Ireland. It's right there for him right now.
Yeah, and you think if he gets another opportunity, if he has one of those type of performances for Ireland, it just changes the whole perception, doesn't it? But there is a gap. And look, Sexton, we've spoken for years about Sexton and Murray and about their dominance and their quality and playing in British and Irish Lions tours and starting test matches there and winning things with Ireland. They've been phenomenal, the two of them. But the gap has been, there's been a gap there, and that's plain for everyone to see. You can't just produce a magic wand and bring these players up to the same level unless they do so themselves. But you're right in saying, you know, there is an opportunity for someone to grab hold of it. You've got Ross Byrne, Billy Burns, Jack Carty, and they're the kind of three vying for that. Ian Madigan would surely come into the conversation as well, and Harry Byrne. Ben Healy has done well with Munster. I was personally delighted to see Jack Crowley come on and make his debut in Belfast the other night. He only got a short period at the end, but I think he's a really brilliant rugby player as well, and someone who has that potential. We always mention potential with fly halves, but doing it, being there, dealing with all the pressure, all that stuff is part of the package as well. So I think, look, Jack Carty is so talented. I think he can, it's, and I've always said this about fly halves, and I keep going back to Ronan and O'Gara, who I played with for so long. It's that temperament. It's that little bit of narkiness that you need, that bit of attitude that Sexton has in so much of that as well. It's that dominance and being able to boss the forwards and you know, put them back in their place and tell them when you want the ball and all that kind of stuff. So you want that kind of dominance, but he has great talent. And but again, I go back to what I said at the start here. You've got to put this in perspective. It's a Pro 14 game against a weakened Leinster side. I think he, of course, he has the credentials to step up and play at the top level. And I kind of look at someone like George Ford, who's, because Jack Carty is not the most physical player. He's not a physical fly half. He's not, you know, he doesn't shirk the collisions. But you look at someone like George Ford, what he's done for England and the way he's played. There's no way, no reason why Jack Carty can be that type of an attacking footballer and passer, because I think he's a great runner. He's brilliant pace to his game. His hands are good. What's missing then? Why isn't the gap closer? I think it's down to what's up here in the head and just doing it consistently. Of course, he has that talent and ability to do that.
Is it down to what the Ireland coach are looking for in their out half as well?
Sometimes it's down to the system you're playing, and of course Johnny Sexton could do both. His kicking game was top class. His running game, passing game, all that was good, really brilliant as well, and has been consistently for years. So sometimes it is, if you have a coach who's just looking to move the ball every time, that's probably Carty's strength and his ability to play off the cuff. But it's the structured stuff on when the weather is wet. You're against the wind, the pressure's on you, your forwards aren't going as well as you would like, the ball is crappy enough coming back to you. That's when you just sometimes have to sit in the pocket, make good decisions, sometimes carry the ball as well. So that's probably the difference. So, yeah, of course, sometimes it's down to the way you play and getting the strength. I think from myself that you've got to nourish and encourage the talent and the strengths rather than focus on all the weaknesses. So you want to get the weaknesses better for sure. But Jack Carty is someone who you give him front football, give him time and space, and he can punish teams and he can be brilliant. But I just think it's that structure stuff that is the fundamental part of being a good fly half for anyone.
Yeah, and look, I think they talked about the conversation he had between himself and Andy Friend after the game last week when the weather wasn't good, and they now have that in the bank for the next time when that happens. And it's funny, Bill Belichick always talks about let's analyse what we can do, not what we can't do, and then build off the back of that too. I did want to mention one last thing about it wasn't an entirely weakened Leinster team. Their back row was pretty good, and it was great to see at number 8 somebody who we've been dying to see at that level of performance. But in Ryan Baird in the back row was like, ooh, this is pretty interesting. I thought he was like a little bit like Rocky Elsom at one point when he was stepping off both feet and buccaneering into the Connacht 22. Am I ridiculous to get excited about the fact that maybe he's actually a back row instead of a second row?
No, he can play both, I think. And he's someone that, of course, can play back row. He's that quick. He's that fast. And it's a bit early to kind of pigeonhole him into one position, saying he can't play in the back row. He's quick enough to do that. He was brilliant again. And going back to the point there that we're saying it's a weakened Leinster side, it's not, you try not to take Anton away from Connacht, because if I was playing in a Munster team that was weakened without our internationals or with them, it doesn't matter. You're still getting that win against a side that have been so consistent and probably the best and most consistent squad in Europe for a number of years. So Scott Penny played in the back with Dan Levy. They
not
two
bad.
Brilliant players as well. No, it's fantastic. But I think Ryan Baird he's a brilliant player, and of course he can play in the back row. But you know, I've been talking about him for a while. I just love the flow, the mobility, the energy, the all-round game. Do you throw him in against England and will he have the same impact in a physical contest against a bruising pack? Who knows? But certainly he can play in the back row. That's an added advantage if you can play him there as a line-out option, and his all-round game is fantastic. But I was glad to see Dan Levy. I think he's slowly moving his way back. Been out for so long has been devastating for him, and it takes such... You can't just come back after such a long injury and after 3-4 weeks find your form. But he's gradually getting there. I can see more involvements in him, more energy, more fitness. And that's good news for him as well. But one other guy I want to mention, Gerard, before we go, is Tom Daly. I thought he was and has been outstanding for Connacht. I think his ability to step, his physicality, his aggressiveness. And I think he's someone that Andy Farrell should look at, have a real close look at, because I just think he's a big, strong guy who's a good runner with the ball as well. And he was outstanding for Connacht on Saturday night.
Is he, like, obviously it's a very competitive part of the Ireland team. Like, in the, if you were to do an off-the-cuff depth chart, how close would he be to getting in the team? Would you give him game time against Italy? What would you, when you're talking about somebody like Tom Daly?
Well, I'd certainly bring him in and have a look, because, look, it is very, very strong there, the depth in the centre position. But there are a lot of the same guys now that we've seen. There's four of them there in Henshaw, Aki, Farrell, Ringrose. Stuart McCluskey's probably next in line. But I just think he has a little something about him that could be different. He could offer something different. So he's down the charts for sure. But if he can produce some really good performances consistently, the challenge now for them, and I said it about Munster, I did a piece in the Weekend about Munster, is that, you know, when you have a big win, Leinster's win at or Connacht's win at the weekend was similar kind of elevation as regards Munster winning, you know, the same kind of feel-good factor, jumping around, what it can do for the squad. Can they back it up against Munster now next weekend? Munster will have a strong team for that game in Galway, and that's the challenge for them. Can he do it? Can Tom Daly do it, you know, against Damian D'Alende? Well, that's where you'll get a few more answers to regards can he step up to that international level. So that'll be an interesting one at the weekend.
On that Munster performance at the weekend, Alan, a brilliant losing bonus point come the full-time whistle in that situation. The overall performance, was it deserving of the losing bonus point? How happy will they be going into this weekend?
Yeah, they were on the ropes a few times, but I just thought the way they dug in there, they didn't give up and they didn't capitulate, which sometimes happens in Belfast. We've seen a few of those results in the last few years when they went up there. Look, they made 14 changes, only two of their internationals involved in November, Shane Daly and John Ryan. So a little bit of frustration, and I was looking at this online, that people were questioning why didn't Johan van Grand play some more of the his regular starters, the first team starters, because they didn't have a game the week before against Leinster, it was off. But I think it would have been down to giving these players assurances that, look, they would have been involved in the Ulster game. And these kind of selections would have been kind of mapped in a few weeks before the game. So he probably didn't want to change that. And it's trying to keep the squad happy and maybe exposing them to a tough situation in Belfast. But I thought Munster can take a lot of positives out of it, particularly the way they finished the game and they dug in there. They were on the ropes a few times. And if you were Dan McFarlane and Ulster, you're probably frustrated that you didn't get that third try, particularly in the midpoint of that second half, and maybe kick on. But Thomas Ahern coming off the bench, and I said, Jack Crowley, Roman Salanoa, the burst he made, Liam Coombs, you know, on the wing, the three academy players in the squad. So again, it's a bit of a builder. If it went the other way on and they were beaten by 25, 30 points, which could have happened, it was a bit of a swing situation there in that midpoint of the second half where they were defending for their lives close to the line. They got a brilliant turnover. If it went that way, it'd be negative and it could set them back. But they could take a lot out of that game, to be fair. And, you know, to get the losing bonus point could be vital in the end.
There's obviously huge doubt at the moment about whether or not the Lions is going to go ahead in South Africa. And that was a story that kind of has cropped up over the last 3 or 4 days. That hasn't stopped everybody starting to pick their team. Sam Warburton has picked his. And there are two Irish players in it. Tadhg Furlong makes the cut. Haven't seen a lot of Tadhg Furlong just recently. So he's probably there because of his track records and obviously his brilliant performances for the Lions in the past. And James Ryan is there as well. Is that about the most we could hope for at this stage?
It is at the moment. If they go on and win a Grand Slam or win a Triple Crown, Ireland, you know, it all changes. You know, I was involved in a team in 2009. I warmed up with them when we won the Grand Slam. And, you know, I did the warm-ups for all those games, went back into the stand and watched them. And I remember thinking, you know, Gatland and Ian McGeachan were watching a game in Scotland, thinking I'd love to be one of these guys out in the field and get an opportunity. I got picked. The rest of the story is history. But so players can come out of nowhere here. Teams, you know, it's someone like Ryan Baird could have come involved, get a few games for Ireland and suddenly be taken as a utility player. Who knows? You never know. But I think at the moment, that's it. If Ireland do really well in the Six Nations and beat England in Dublin in the last game, which is a very tall order, it changes. Look at Peter O'Mahony a couple of years ago in 2017 when Ireland stopped England winning the Grand Slam. He steals 3 or 4 lineouts in the game and suddenly he's running out in the first test in Auckland as captain. So it can change very quickly. But a lot of it is down to... And someone like Tadhg Furlong, Warren Gatland will, being a former front row player himself, and I know he's a massive fan of Furlong's, Furlong just needs to get back and get... He doesn't have to hit massive highs, but he needs to just be in a team that's doing pretty well and he'll be relying on his teammates and Ireland to do well in the Six Nations. But he will rely on a bit of that old form and that experience and know what Furlong did in New Zealand. And he will get picked. But like I said, there's a number of guys who might put their hands up.
If you didn't play in the Six Nations, did you get picked on the back of 2 games or 1 game?
I got picked in the back of probably playing a couple of games for Munster, but really it was down to the quarterfinal against the Ospreys. And probably Gatty known me a little bit and having been in and out of Irish squads over the years and stuff like that. And, you know, will you get 1 or 2 guys like that? You know, you'll get utility players and midweek games and all that kind of stuff, but some guys can do that role or maybe be a captain of a midweek side or something like that. You could see a couple of surprises, but just on the tour, whether it goes ahead or not, it's been kind of mooted a little bit now, lads, that it could be moved. Maybe it'd be a good idea to move to the UK and Ireland or move to France. That's a non-runner for me. And I just think, and I think back to when at the start of the pandemic, we were talking about GA matches and no crowds and loads of GA people are saying, no way, we can't play the GA without the crowds and it'll never work. It worked. But I just think this is different. The whole thing with the Lions every 4 years, if you don't have crowds there, it's not like, it's not a regular competition. And I think it would be futile playing it without crowds.
What if you crowds in Ireland and England and Scotland and Wales?
You still won't have the same kind of festive mood around it. You know, being on I was in Australia in 2013 and New Zealand 2017 working. And to just see the whole fan experience is phenomenal. And the way English, Irish, Welsh, Scots people come together and drink together and eat together and have fun together and the whole jovial atmosphere around it. And the novelty of being in another country away from home, I think it's just different. Yeah, of course you'll get crowds in the UK and Ireland and maybe it would work. But I think you can have it without crowds in South Africa.
So kick it back a year. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if they don't play it, and look, maybe in the next month or so, they will have a more structure on a vaccine in South Africa and more help and support there. And if that happens, maybe you will have crowds. But I think the next 4 to 6 weeks, they'll have to make a decision on it for logistical reasons because, you know, I know people are booked to go to South Africa and, you know, they need to make a decision that fairly soon. So it'd be a shame because I think, you know, South Africa has its challenges and problems, but it's an amazing country and it's an amazing country to visit and see all the different cultures. Like I said, it has challenges and you got to be safe and careful there. But I think it'd be a shame if it didn't happen. But push it out a year, this scenario moving it to the UK or Ireland, I don't think would work. It wouldn't be for me anyway. I think push it back out a year and maybe move the Six Nations out till April, May, and let's get crowds back there if the vaccine programs here have been effective.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that would be a great idea. Apparently that hasn't even been discussed. They're kind of intent on running it with the schedule they have because of the power of the clubs, and they don't want to open up that whole debate again. Maybe it's time all those debates were opened up again, given how precarious rugby is as a sport for a load of different reasons. One last question. Warburton says that he would have had Itoje as captain, but that he actually thinks that Gatland would go with Farrell. Who would your captain be, and who do you think Gatland would go with?
I think it's Farrell. I think he's the captain. I just think with Itoje, he plays so much on the line as regards being involved in so many kind of situations that could be a penalty for him, could be a penalty against him as regards the maul, the line out, the breakdown. And I just think if he's the one as captain that potentially could give away 2-3 penalties, and he can do this every game, and if he got punished, that then if he's standing up looking at a referee as captain, it mightn't be the best situation. I think he has great leadership qualities, and he'd probably be pack leader if he's playing, and which he should be playing for sure. But I just think Farrell has that bit more experience. He has that little bit of nous. He's got to watch his own discipline as regards the high tackles and stuff like that. But I think he's a good captain, Farrell. I like him. I like his attitude, and I like his spirit. So I think for me, Farrell would be the captain at the moment.
All right. Good stuff, Alan. Thanks a million. Plenty to get stuck into there. Okay,
cheers, lads.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.